Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars. But mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, Xander, what are you drinking?
You don't have the button press, my friend.
I've already messed this up. I tried to drink whiskey through my mask. I forgot my mask was on, so I had to take the headphones off, and I didn't hit the button to talk. I am killing it today.
Killing it.
But in order to introduce this whiskey, we're going to have to do this. For I am drinking a fistful of bourbon.
Ooh.
Nice.
Now let's see if I can hold the button down and get the sound effect of me pouring into a glass.
Uh-oh, do you need some help? Oh, there you go. Elbow it. There you go.
Oh, we're fancy here. And for those of you who are watching in the stream, you might notice something special here. Xander is sitting at a different place today.
Yes, I am. I'm trying to figure out where the hell I am. It looks so fit. Oh, wait. We're back, baby. We're back. Mostly. Sorry.
We are 75% back.
Well, most of us. Yeah. Speaking of 75% back, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. As usual, I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
I am Poppy Beaujolais.
And we have begun the delicate, intricate, sophisticated, scientific process of getting the band back together. Yeah.
Yes.
We have set up plexiglass screens. I have repurposed my motorcycle's windshield, mounted and held up, of course, by some Halloween pumpkins that are holding it right in place to provide that wonderful balance that, I mean, I wasn't using it for anything else. And I'm taking this mask off now that we have, you know, security.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel, where did these pumpkins come from? They're so pretty.
Aren't these great looking pumpkins?
You could say they're gorgeous.
They are gorgeous.
You could say that, but then that would make you an asshole.
I'm an asshole.
Odio. Wait, that's copyright infringement.
Our house is known as the Crypt of the Pumpkin Queen. The Pumpkin Queen being my wife sitting over here to my left.
Well, also my cat named Pumpkin. Really? It's the cat named Pumpkin, but yes, I can also be the Pumpkin Queen.
Yeah, sure. It's true.
Sure. But yes, I grew these very pumpkins in our yard.
Yep.
Yeah, they were a pandemic project. I planted them in May.
What are you drinking tonight, Poppy?
Oh, gosh. So I'm doing that whole Sober October thing. And I actually have found some non-alcoholic beers that do not suck.
Now, I'm lamenting that you've missed a fine opportunity here to call it Oct-sober.
Oct-sober. Sober-tober. Oct-sober.
I don't like any of them.
Sober-October. I did drink once on the 3rd. Before Hammer Crawl or during Hammer Crawl or something, because I was feeling a little nervous that day, but I haven't drank since. But I found some non-alcoholic beers that do not suck, which is amazing. And I currently am drinking Klausthaler.
Klausthaler,
a dry-hopped, non-alcoholic, beer-like product. This is
Does
a
it
malt.
Literally say beer-like product?
No,
on there?
It doesn't. It says malt,
missed opportunity.
Malt beverage contains less than 0.05% alcohol by volume, so it can be sold as non-alcoholic because it is less than 1%.
Speaking of missed opportunities, you're oh wait, I've already done that. Anyway, Jacob, what you got over there?
I am drinking Doomtown West Coast IPA by Wayfinder Breweries.
Ooh.
And I'm drinking it out of my brand new.
Ooh, listen to that sound.
Ooh, that's a good sound.
That's a good sound.
Live, laugh, love, crit mug.
Yes. Nice. Love it.
From Blackbird Design Studio, friend of the show, Raven Ranger in the Twitch chat, might not be on tonight. He threw these two together for me. He's done some other work for us in the past. And
did he make our mug, the Biker Slice and Bar mug?
He made our mug.
Oh, I met him at Game Storm. Yep. Nice. Hey, man.
Yeah. So this was a test shirt based on a joke that came up online during one of the podcasts, as is the mug. The rest of the crew will be seeing them in person as soon as we're back in the studio, along with some other surprises.
Ooh.
But yeah.
And I am
Thanks again, Dale.
Thank you, Dale. I am rounding this out with some Sayuri Nigori Sake. It is one of my favorites, acquired, as usual, from the mom and pop wine shop.
Oh, of course.
They now do wine delivery to my house. It's amazing. Sometimes showing up and giving me wine on the spot to drink right there. It's wonderful. This is one of my favorite sakes. Well, one of my favorite Nigori sakes. It is a product of Japan. Creamy sake passes through a mesh and is coarsely filtered. This process gives Sayuri a refreshing aroma, natural sweetness, and smooth aftertaste.
Does it have a smooth aftertaste?
It's smooth, it's baby. Smooth. S-M-O-O-V.
Smooth.
So this bourbon's actually quite interesting. This is not from a single distillery. I've been told that there's been a new trend of trying to break the stigma of blended bourbons from different distilleries, kind of like a blended scotch. So they have actually acquired 5 different bourbons from between Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee, New York. This is what I was just reading online. And they blend them all together. So the youngest one's 2 years up to who the fuck knows. And it's actually quite tasty. Fistful of bourbon. Barrel profiles. Our backbone is balanced and sweet. Green leafy floral. Soft spices, hints of nutmeg, buttery toffee, and cinnamon and licorice. I don't taste the licorice, and I'm okay with that.
Tell me more.
I will in a second.
God damn it.
Wait, black licorice, right?
Yeah.
But you don't taste that.
You don't really like licorice.
I
don't like black licorice. No, I don't like it. No.
And this is a very affordable, I think it was $22 for this bottle. And double gold winner at the International Spirits Challenge of 2019.
Nice.
Boom.
Nice.
Boom, boom, boom.
Don't hate it.
Shakalaka.
So our topic today, I've already kind of hinted at it, but we're doing a whole extended discussion on the concept of getting the band back together. This was inspired by my efforts recently to get this band back together. Unfortunately, Jacob couldn't join us tonight, but again, it's actually for the best because I still have some more work to do in the setup. So
we want to, Dice and Bars want to keep everyone safe.
Yep.
And, maintain proper social distancing when we can and use barriers.
My goal is to have it so that we can all sit here and record like we used to, but also be safe, but also continue the stream the way we're doing it with the segmented video so that people can look at all of us instead of just seeing like one table with the group. Which is why I've been cobbling together a group of laptops here of various makes and models. But they all run Zoom and they all run Discord. So we're good there. And so
it's a Frankenstein mess of just wires and monitors in here. And I kind of love
it's kind of incredible. Yeah.
This is the Hammer Crawl Station, which is kind of like spread out across an L-shaped area of my desk. It's wonderful.
It's like you've got Hammer Crawl, gaming / writing, and then like day job.
Yep.
Basically, there's like 3 separate sections.
There's hobby, other hobby, other hobby, and then work. But getting the band back together. One, Xander, I think I've already said this, but it's awesome having you back.
Yes.
It feels really nice to be back in the studio. I mean, even just pulling up to the front yard, I'm just like, yeah, all right. I remember how this is. I think the door, do I not? Nope, he's just going to open the door for me. It's going to be really nice.
For you.
I figured. And then, you know, even just, you know, try to not bash my head while walking down the stairs into the studio. It just came back. It was instinct. And I almost sat in the wrong chair, but NPC corrected me because I'm in Jacob's chair. Sorry, Jacob. But I'm keeping it warm for you. And then just like, I just fucking love it. I love it so much. And your setup here makes me feel very safe.
Thank you. I'm glad I could make this happen.
You see who else is joining us again? Who's over my left shoulder here?
Oh, ooh. Our very special friend, the chicken.
Bethesda.
Bethesda hasn't made an appearance in a very long time.
Yeah, so Bethesda's back. We've got the bottle of Malort next to Bethesda to remind us of our mistakes.
Okay, quick Malort story.
Oh, no.
I don't know why I now have two, but... I was in the Midwest about a month ago for the meeting of the Fraternal Order of Bartenders, who I've mentioned a couple times on this podcast. And we've been Zoom friends for about 5 or 6 months now during the whole pandemic. And we're just like, you know what?
So I'm picturing like kind of like the water buffalo. Do you wear weird hats, but they're just like taps and beer mugs?
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, when you get thirsty, you just pull down the tap and you fill your beer off of someone's hat because that's why they're so big. They're just full of beer.
Suddenly the OLCC card is worth the money.
So we were in Wisconsin, and at some point we went to Chicago, and some son of a bitch brought a fucking fifth of Malort into the place we were all staying at. And of course, I can't not have a shot of Malort. If they're all having shots of Malort, that's how it works. And so at the very end of the trip, the bottle is like 95% gone because, again, we're alcoholics and we hate each other and ourselves mostly. And so I go to drop off the rent-a-car. I'm pulling out my suitcase and my backpack from the back of the rent-a-car, and some fucker left the rest of the bottle of Malort in the trunk. So I'm not going to not finish it.
Oh, my God.
As I'm about to get on an airplane in Chicago and fly back to Portland. So I'm just like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And so I just took it like a man and put a curse upon the rest of the group. But anyways, that was fun, guys. We should do that again sometimes.
Oh, my God, no.
Except for the Malort.
But no, you know what, though? I am hatching a plan to do some payback with Mr. Jeremy, who brought us the Malort.
I would like to make a quick note that I didn't hate it. So I don't need to pay you back except for the money and the cost that it took you to bring you here. Comes a lot or whatever your name was.
It was comes when he comes on. When he wants. Yeah.
Captain comes a lot.
I'll have another.
Yeah. And I didn't hate it either. And that was the problem, is it was bad decision juice. I do believe Jeremy said that he would join us for our Mad Dog 2020 tasting.
Now that I am all 101%.
Yeah.
Maybe 101.5% on board with.
I forgot I had agreed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was hoping everyone else would too.
What I would like to do one day when we have gotten the band back together, because that is nominally the topic of this episode, is get us to drink through the classic Psi Upsilon Fraternity Heaven and Hell Party.
Oh,
seven layers. Or nine layer was nine, seven?
Seven deadly sins.
Seven, no, layers of hell. Is it nine layers of hell?
Seven, eight.
No. The seven.
No, it was nine layers of hell.
And rings?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was whatever. It was nine or seven. And then heaven was nine or seven. One of them was nine, one of them was seven. I don't remember. But the first level of going to hell, hell being multiple levels of consecutive drinks, I would love for us to get together and go through those steps, but not in the same night. We'll take it easy. The first level is a year old warm ham special light beer.
I hate you.
Mm-hmm. We gotta get creative on this podcast in order to really tie in those listens from, I guess, the Georgia people or something.
Now that we have webcams and they can all see our reaction to when you make us inevitably drink a Captain and Captain, you sick son of a bitch.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Was the Captain and Captain the last ring?
Oh, no, okay. It was like halfway through.
Oh, wait, the last ring is the year old from
That's the first ring.
That's the first. Oh.
Yeah. So what happens? Okay, I think I've told this story before, but a quick refresher. The beginning of this party, they would have it every year. I don't know if they still do, but at Psy Up Salon Fraternity, Georgia Tech Campus, Atlanta, Georgia, Techwood Avenue, right at the end. Go check them out sometime. They used to have this every year back when I lived there. And the ritual before the party began was to drive out to like Sam's Club, or I don't think we had Costco. So it was like Sam's Club, and buy like a pallet of Ham's Special Light beer and then bring it back to the fraternity house, put it in the outside storage unit and leave it there a year, because that was next year's first drink.
So we have to go get a case of Ham's and stick it in our garage.
No. Not Ham's. Ham's Special Light. You can replace the word light with kind of hell, and it would have the same meaning.
Okay.
Ham's, the beer refreshing. Who would have ever guessed 25 some years ago that my career as a bartender at college bars would prepare me for your future misery?
We had a couple other ones that I'm looking forward to trying. One of them, which was surprisingly good, but it's a headache in a glass. They call it the Pink Panty Pull Down, which is triple sweetened vodka Kool-Aid.
Oh,
it's delicious. But it's it's a headache in a glass.
Triple sweetened, as in like one packet of Kool-Aid and three cups of sugar?
No, as in you make Kool-Aid with vodka. Then you take the remains, make Kool-Aid again with that. It's kind of like multi-brewing coffee. I don't know if you've ever done that. Mm-hmm. You brew coffee.
Yeah.
Then you pour the coffee back into the machine and then you brew another pot of coffee.
So this is pre-sweetened?
What you do is you brew the Kool-Aid with vodka. And I don't mean like water, vodka in the water. Vodka is the Kool-Aid.
Okay.
And then you brew it, right?
Okay.
Then you take that and then you re-brew it with more Kool-Aid.
Okay.
And then you do it a third time. And that was how Psy Up Salon did it.
Okay.
So important question here, NPC. Is there a preferred brand of vodka for doing this?
Monarch.
If it's in a plastic bottle, it's good to go.
Monarch.
Ooh. See, I'm going to have to see if I can find Silver Wolf. Silver Wolf, the vodka that comes direct from the factory with the label already falling off.
If I remember correctly, in Atlanta, we had Barton's. I think it was Barton's. Or maybe Barton's.
Or,
if
we're feeling really self-abusive, Nikolai.
What about like McCormick's?
Don't know that.
It's like the big plastic.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I've had their whiskey. It's somewhere between why did I do this to myself?
Type 2 diabetes in a shot glass. Thanks, Raven Ranger. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get this band back together. And yeah. I like what we have started here. I love that Xander is here with us again. It feels like it literally is an old best friend come back home, and welcome back. Jacob, next time, we got you here. The place is set, ready to go.
Almost.
It's set. It's okay,
ready to go. Yeah. Almost.
It's good. We're good to go. And what we ultimately want to do is something that we were beginning to set up back when this was that hopeful month of January 2020, before the world went to absolute dog turds. We were setting up some new ideas of things that we would do in the studio, such as mixed drink demos, recipe breakdowns on video. I have a rolling bar set up with a variety of implements just so that we can video both Jacob and Xander, our master bartenders, demonstrating to the cameras the wonderful world of barcraft.
And also when I inevitably go and challenge Jacob again live on the air to a garnish cutting contest.
Ooh.
Because he had some weird ass fucking ways of cutting some limes. And I was no, you put your hand back down. you think about what you've done. But we had a really fun time during our gin and tonic episode where we just He's like, how do you cut your limes? No, this is wrong. We got in a big argument about it, but it was off the air. And there were just a couple pictures taken, and that was about it. And I'm like, no, we got to do this. And then fight for the honor of the limes and how we cut them on the air, and then take comments from people as we do it.
I dig it.
Since we are on the verge of getting the band back together all in the same studio, Xander, I want to remind you that one of the things we talked about on one of our very first streams when COVID went down, the drink we discovered, the cocktail we discovered during the pandemic that we want to share. And so you bring yours, I bring mine, we throw down, and we'll go from there.
Challenge accepted, my friend.
Could we do that next recording?
Oh, that for me, that's easy. That, you know,
wait.
Bring the white trash.
Okay, so I got everything, but I need you to repeat it because I wasn't listening.
So, back on one of our first live streams after COVID started, I brought up the idea that when everything was settled down out, since Xander and I had both been talking about doing a lot of drinking and playing around with drinks and mixing because of enforced COVID, that each of us would bring the drink we discovered or created during COVID and share it with all of you. It's not necessarily a competition per se.
Because I don't want to see Jacob cry live on the air.
Hey, dude, I will bring the best white trash you've ever seen.
I think the first week of my unemployment / quarantine, what I did was I went to the local liquor store and got a giant bottle of Jameson. Like it was like a gallon, maybe. It was a huge bottle.
Probably 1.75 liters.
It was big. And that was like
the sake, right?
No. This was Jameson. This was whiskey.
Lasted you all of a month.
Oh, no, it lasted me much longer than that. It lasted me like 2 or 3 months.
Oh.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. I just kept it squirreled away in the closet.
I feel bad about myself now.
That's where it was.
Why do they do this to us, Xander? They constantly do this. They talk about their heavy drinking, and we're like, yeah, that was last Tuesday.
I'm not saying I didn't pound a fifth of a George Dickel Rye during an entire day once, but I definitely did when I was pulling the shift on the FOB bar chat. And then I was like, I'm out of whiskey, and I'm not tired yet.
I mean, that wasn't all I drank, you guys. Just, you know, there was beer, there was sake, there was wine, there was all kinds of shit. But I think my COVID drink would probably be Jameson on the rocks and tears. So I'll have to cry a little bit before to get some lacrimation action going all up in there.
My COVID drink is like 84 ounces of water called shame. That's about what I drink in a day, you know.
84 ounces of shame. Yeah. That's funny because I thought it was pronounced beer.
I thought it was 40 ounces to freedom.
Okay, let's actually kind of wing this back around and not try to stick with our topic here. Although I am enjoying the freeform bullshit. Topics help with a podcast. So we're talking about drinking and drinking and drinking. Let's bring this to getting your drinking group back together. Like, maybe has anybody in this table, including Jacob, because he's spiritually at this table, have any of you had a situation where you had an old drinking group? Or I know, Xander, you had the Revelers or whatever you call them.
The Raintown Rumblers, in which we would get like 5 to 10 of us would go to a bar and then sing our 5 drinking songs that we knew, because you only knew 5, because any more than that would be too complicated after a couple drinks. And then we would go to the next bar and rinse and repeat. And we do that to 4. We do a bar crawls, just singing drunkenly, like until we got kicked out.
That qualifies as a drinking group. When I lived back on the East Coast, I had 2 buddies that very specifically were my drinking buddies. As it turns out, they eventually figured out that they were raging alcoholics and had to deal with that problem. But still, they were drinking buddies. That was my drinking group. The older we get, drinking buddies sort of fade away and go various distances. Have you ever had a drinking group that you wanted to get back together? And second question is, were you successful in that?
So the Raintown Rumblers have not been around for quite a few years, and I would love to bring them back in because it was a hell of a lot of fun. I would love to bring that band back together, and I would love to get kicked out of the Vern again, and I would love to go and flip the double bird at the National again to that fucking bartender who told us to stop singing patriotic songs next to a giant American flag so she can go fuck herself. you know, I would love to go and accidentally crash the wrong house party, which we definitely did one summer because our friend was like, hey, my friend has a house party down the street. So we all went in there, bought a bunch of beer, went into the backyard singing very loudly, and everyone looked at us because no one knew who the fuck we were. And they said, who are you? Like, oh, is this not so-and-so's house? And they just went, no. Followed by an awkward silence of, but if you sing another song, we have a keg. We will give you all beer. We're like, nice. Okay. So we sang a couple more songs back there. We made instant friends with everybody, and it was a fucking cool backyard party. They gave us a bunch of pints, and then we went to the actual Wright House party, and it fucking sucked. It's a bunch of, like, dumb kids smoking pot and, like, listening to, like, house music. I was like, I hate this. And it was all inside. I'm like, fuck this noise. I want to go back to the other party where we don't know anybody.
Sometimes you want to go where no one knows your name.
What about the rest of you? Drinking crews that you wanted to get back together and or did?
So I got two.
One was
a group of friends that I drank with pretty regularly. We'd go down to Grandma's restaurant in Duluth, have big steak dinners, and then hit a bunch of bars and usually a bunch of house parties. And it was just a tight group. We'd have a lot of fun, just get absolutely wrecked, do horribly irresponsible things. If I could turn back the clock, that'd be great. I'd love to have those folks back together again. It would require a couple of them regaining their brains. They kind of lost their minds. The other one was shortly after I moved to Portland. I started hosting for a group of friends cocktail nights at my place. And I put together a craft cocktail list. In fact, I have most of the cocktail lists still, including some I made, some I found out, some I looked up, some I researched old cocktails, and there'd be a cocktail menu. And I would love to get that crew back together again because we, you know, we'd hit the table with the set menu and then occasionally do some tweaks to make them better, make them different, that sort of thing. And it was fun. On the front porch, we were singing. It was all good.
I just remembered one of my favorite old drinking groups. Now, it doesn't quite match the terms that I set forth because I haven't tried to get them back together, and I don't think I'd ever would. But the memories that we had back in the day when I lived in Atlanta, I had a group of friends, some of which I had known since high school, some of which I had known since before that, probably when we fought together in Vietnam. My buddy Jay, who when I met him, we already knew each other. Literally, I have no idea how we met, but we already knew each other when we officially met. My buddy Tony, also from high school. And my buddy after we all moved to Atlanta was a fellow named Timbo. And my buddy Nate. And we would go to gatherings of our various friends. They would have like a house party or whatever. And we would hang out and drink. We would invent brand new drinks on the spot, get gloriously drunk and gloriously hungover the next day off of these drinks that we invented that were terrible decisions. But one of my favorite moments of this group was something that someone else said about us when we came to a party. We showed up an hour or so after the party officially began, but we showed up. And I remember another friend said to the host of the party, who was another friend, it's good that these guys came because now you have a party and they will be here until you kick them out. And that was our thing. Like, we loved parties, but we weren't obnoxious about it. But we would go to a party, find a spot, anchor at that spot in the party, and then we were the kitchen. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
The kitchen was when we were at a house, if we weren't in the kitchen, then people forgot about the kitchen. People would come to us to fill their drinks, and we didn't know what we were doing. We weren't bartenders or anything. We're just like, yes, give me that Jaeger and that tequila and I will make a drink for you. we just had a good time doing it. Those were glorious days.
Yeah. Was this, how old were you when this was going on?
Between the ages of 21 and 24.
Was this long-haired NPC days?
At various points in that era, at the beginning of that era, I could sit on my hair. Shortly into that era, for one night, I had a mullet just because it was funny. And I was already in the process of, I didn't shave my head, but I buzzed it. And then after that, I had really short hair.
I'm definitely going to say that the group that I 100% want to get back together again were those fucking psychos at the Fraternal Order of Bartenders meeting. Because it was like, yeah, all right, there are others that can match me when I really go at it. And that kind of scares me for their health and mine. But they were a fucking fun group of folks. And to kind of see the interesting dynamics of when you've met someone online for 5 months and then you get to meet them in real life and you're like, oh, nope, you're just as crazy in real life, if not crazier now. And I kind of love it. And apparently our next trip is going to be to Vegas and I'm going to...
No, it's fine. It took me a few minutes to kind of think about like drinking groups because I've never really had in my mind a really good solid like drinking group since I've moved to Portland. And when I was in Colorado, it was more of just like me and my two girlfriends would go out. They were kind of my drinking buddies, Liz and Heidi and Beth. And that was kind of our, like the crew. But as I sit here thinking about it, there is a drinking related event that I do every year and have done so for the past 10 years. And that is my annual goth tail party. That is my annual goth themed cocktail party. So I think that counts as a drinking group. I've had it 10 years, not in a row. There was one year where I didn't have it because it was kind of like this one off thing I did in like 2009. And then I don't think we had one in 2010. And then I was like, okay, this is now a thing I have to do every year. And last year we had our 10 year anniversary party for the goth tail party. And we went all out and like rented a room and it was fucking great. And I'm very concerned that I'm not going to get to have it this year because of fucking COVID. And that makes me sad.
You can still have it. We have succeeded recently in having online drinking parties. Well, we did an online Rocky Horror Picture Show night a few weeks ago, and there was much drinking and much singing and much celebrating.
It was a lot of fun.
I think we can still do it.
I think so. And of course, it's not going to be the same, but I mean, everybody could still get dressed up and have cocktails and, you know, we can listen to goth music or watch The Crow or some shit. I don't know. But
and think about it this way. A Zoom version of a dressy party means that you still
don't have to wear pants.
Yes. Yes. I think that's a good spot to switch to our next segment.
I'm not wearing pants right now. You can't prove otherwise.
This is true. Really, honestly. Here's the deal, listener. If you're listening to this, you have no idea whether any of us are wearing pants ever. It's the quantum pants. The pants could exist or not. It is the...
Schrodinger's cat.
Schrodinger's pants.
Schrodinger's pants.
That should be the name of our next...
The uncertainty pants.
They're both on and off at the same time.
That should be the name of our hammer crawl group Halloween.
If ever I am going to put together a hammer crawl group that I, as a player, finally get to play and play a character that leads, the name of the group will be Cardassian Jurisprudence. I've decided it's going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. That's my new phrase.
Wow. I can't.
Cardassian or Kardashian?
Cardassian. Cardassians, you know, because their whole legal system is, we've already decided that you're guilty. All we're doing is putting on a show so that the citizens have faith in the legal system. That's it. That's their legal system.
So,
and it's bullshit, but I want to make it a hammer crawl party.
So it's
Stalinist Russia, the hammer crawl party. I see this.
Yikes. Yes.
That's so exciting.
A kangaroo court, essentially, is what Cardassians are. Yeah.
Ooh, I'll wear my kangaroo pants.
What about Captain Kangaroo Court?
No.
Okay.
No.
Moving on.
But this does lead us into a nice segue to talk about nerd shit and getting your nerd groups back together. And motherfuck, I can talk about getting some gaming groups back together or some anime watching groups back together or my old magic group back together. Dear God.
Probably heard me talk about this before, that I am not what one might call a seasoned role player, a seasoned RPG tabletop gamer, right? I've been dabbling for the last 9 years or so, but I'm still pretty new to the hobby, and I'm not super into doing campaigns. I much prefer to do one shots or really limited, like, okay, we're going to do 3 sessions of a game, whatever. I miss my Tales from the Loop people so bad.
Aww.
That is a group that we need to get back together.
I want that group back together so bad. I want to play Winifred again so bad. And I have never felt this way about a character or a gaming group before.
And I'm going to say, Poppy, you're saying right now, I'm not a seasoned role player. I don't really know blah, 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 blah. But to me, 90% of being a good role player is being good at improv. And you are phenomenal at improv. The rest is just, are you a human calculator or not? Or GM, tell me what to do and what to roll and why. And everything else is improv, because otherwise it's just, you know, number cruncher of the game. And that's not as exciting if you're not a good person that can improv on the spot. And you do that in spades, let me tell you.
Thank you.
And to back up what Xander's saying, at least on the technical aspect, you're right. A lot of role playing, or at least the role playing that I prefer, and many who feel the same way agree, is that role playing is about enjoying the character and enjoying the story about what's happening. Sure, many GMs or DMs or groups or whatever you want to call them will have issues if you don't know the rules. But I, as a GM, prefer when a player has more character ability than rules ability. I would prefer it in any game that I run when a player doesn't know what to do and they simply tell me, so here's what I want to do. And they describe it. And then I say, okay, here's how I can make that happen. Because I hate it when someone's like, okay, I'm going to attack him. Instead, when they say, well, I'm going to find a good spot and wait till he comes by, and then I'm going to roll out and like chop out the bottom of his kneecaps and then punch him in his face when he rolls down and then try and like strangle him. And I'm like, okay, you're thinking a little too far ahead here, but we can work with this. That sounds amazing.
That's one roll at a time, but you can do that or at least try.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing too. Like I think we had a topic once where we talked about snooty asshole gamers and GMs who make it so no one else wants to play with you if you're not super fifth level neckbeard or whatever.
Remember, folks, don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Well, and first of all, Xander, thank you, because I've never fancied myself as very good at improv. I've always fancied myself more of a like, give me a script and I'll learn it and kind of actor. But so thank you. It's been nice to find my confidence with such things. So,
well, it was just really nice to go and see you do this the entire time. It was just fabulous to go and watch. Really a treat, Winnie. Absolutely a treat.
It wasn't really anything at all, guys. I just sort of like, I don't know, it like just kind of happens and it's fine.
I would love to get that group back together.
Yeah.
Yep.
My requirement, I'm pretty sure I've said this on the mics before, but if I haven't, my requirement for getting that group back together is that we do it in person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would not work as well. I think we feed off the energy of each other so well in the room. Yeah. Especially when Zip goes and brings her fucking notebook with her. And just...
the fucking finger skateboard. Yes!
Those things don't come through as well on a slightly delayed video.
It's true.
Zip proves that props can work in role-playing games.
Word.
So, beyond the Tales from the Loop game, what other gaming groups do we want to see pulled back together?
What I would love to do, just because this was probably one of my favorite characters I ever created, and I loved playing her, and I thought the group was really good at being together, was the Shadowrun group I played with NPC many, many years ago.
Oh, I've heard of
that. That was a fun game. I put in way too much effort into that character. And Nathaniel was so good at being a GM. What he told us to do is, like, not don't just write me your bio and send me your the people that you know and how and why or whatever. Send me, like, 5 songs. And I'm going to make a playlist. And so when it's your character's turn at their, like, you know, place of residence or whatever, that's the music that's playing in the background just to give you a better feel for who this character is.
Xander gave me a motherfucking mix CD. It was amazing. Amazing. I still have it.
And again, it as a character, when you're doing improv and everything, it just got you to be like, this is who this character is. This is what they listen to when no one else is around. Or maybe when people are around, who knows? But it was such a smart, clever extra thing to put in, and it just made that game so much more enjoyable.
I think what really made that game work for me, and the reason it is the one Shadowrun game that I want to get back together more than any other, is I gave every character, every player, a manila envelope with at the beginning of the game, a manila envelope where I want that had a little form in it, and they had to write down their character's darkest secret. Because someone else discovered it, put it in that envelope, gave it to them, and said, you're going to work for me now or else. It was amazing.
Nothing to make.
I actually digitally scanned all of my Shadowrun trading card games, the Magic the Gathering, but Shadowrun cards, and then made custom character cards for every player. And I even made my own deck of what happens when you critically fumble. Like, if you critically fumble at a weird time, one of them in the deck of 100 cards was that Bronson Gordito, the man-eating dog of the Redmond Barons, suddenly appeared. If you only failed, he appeared and was busy for a round. If you critically failed, he appeared and was angry.
Such a fun game to play. Poppy, what are you drinking now?
I am drinking mango-flavored bubbly sparkling water.
Oh, I've had those. Those are actually pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yep, those are good.
Jacob, is there a group that you want to get back together?
So there's a lot of groups I'd love to get back together. I've had the privilege of playing with really good groups over the years. But the 1/2 groups, because it kind of goes hand in hand, was a set of Delta Green groups I ran. It consisted of 2 different groups of players. They played games that were totally disconnected from each other, but what they did crossed over and created complications for each other. But like the one that if I had to be one, it would be the one that was Jesse, Fee, and Ellie, and Faye Chrysalis from the chat, Twitch chat at the moment, were great game of Delta Green operators set in the newest edition of Delta Green. They were just awesome players and both kept me on my toes and kept walking into bad decision after bad decision.
Ah, college.
You know, this got me thinking of another group that I really enjoyed doing now that we're doing a lot more digital gaming with that was NPCs. Was it the Yulner's Academy of Young Adventure?
Oh, we called it the Yaya? Yaya game. It was, so the concept was Harry Potter, but D&D adventurers.
And it was so good.
It was actually based because I was obsessed with the television show The Magicians at the time. And I was like, I want to run The Magicians, but instead of just magicians, it's all the D&D classes. So it was Yaya, Yodinger's Academy for Young Adventurers.
That's what it was. And our group we had was like, we had like the Breakfast Club, but D&D, like that kind of amount of crazy mismatch. Like these people should never get along, yet they do somehow kind of. And who's that like fucking crazy drug making sorcerer?
Was it Mel's character?
Yeah.
The Yuan Ti Warlock?
Yeah. She just, like, her character would just make drugs and sell them and take them all the time.
Yeah.
I had the moody paladin who worships Gorton, the god of fishermen.
Yep. Yeah. I would love to get that group back. It was a great group. In fact, I've got, we'll see. We'll talk soon.
I would love to, because they were so much fun to play with.
It was really good. Everyone was great. I think the group that I would love to get back together the most, and this is a tough one because I can't. One of them is no longer with us. But that would be the Little Fears group that I put together, which was one of the first, it was probably late into my first, if not second year here in Portland. But I ran a Little Fears game, which was how I met Navita. And that game was, I made a post on LiveJournal saying, I want to run a role-playing game. I need players who are adults, have their shit together, and are willing to play a game that goes into some dark areas involving racism, sexism, possible assault, and other things. These will be topics that might happen in the game. I want players who are aware that we're going to deal with some really disturbing subject matter in a non-fetishized way. And Navita sent me a message. This person on LiveJournal sent me this message saying, this is so my shit. And that's how I met Vita, who played Zip in our almost said Lord of the Rings, in our Tales from the Loop.
Slightly different.
Zip is so cool. She's so cool.
I did have to go kill Shelob.
You did, to be fair. You did fight some wood elves.
I did fight. And what's a wood elf?
Anyway.
I'm going to have to re-listen to that tonight now. Thanks, guys.
Anyway. We ran a Little Fears game, and of course, because cell phones break everything, we set the game in the 80s, in the late 80s. And oh my God, it was amazing. It was the best game I've ever played or run. I have the whole thing recorded. It will never be released because, again, we went into some fucked up areas and everybody was on board with it. Every session we started with some, general coloring. We had some coloring books. We had some stuffed animals. We started playing some games. And then slowly and surely, I started snuffing out the candles around and things got dark, literally and figuratively. And it was amazing. No one will hear those unless you pay us a shitload of money. Like, if you pay us enough money to get Biker's Dice and Bars tattooed on my butt, that's about how much money it would take to also let you listen to the Little Fears recordings.
I mean, that's only $200.
No, I haven't set my price yet.
Oh, okay.
Jacob?
What is the price, good sir? What is the price?
Make me an offer is the price.
That how he about, can't refuse.
How about we hit $800 a month for 3 consecutive months on Patreon?
We'll talk.
I was going to say $500,000.
We also have to get the consent of everyone else who was involved, who was still alive.
Fair. Yeah. Fair.
It was a great game. I would love to get that group back together. In fact, I've dreamed about that game.
No.
Getting it back together. We tried a Monster Hearts game as a sequel to it. It had issues in that we invited the wrong people to fill out the group, and they were not a good match. My hope was that one day I could then play the adults who had survived the game in an Unknown Armies game. But maybe one day. Anyway, we've been talking a bit about the groups that we want to get back together. Let's talk a little bit about getting the group back together. Ways to do that. We can kind of wrap this up real quick. I just want to note that we are, surprisingly, in a golden age of getting the group back together, thanks to the fact that we're all at home. We all have internet connections, and suddenly we have a lot more time on our hands to play these games.
May I give you something less clicky to fidget with?
Oh, sorry. I'm like, yeah.
Okay. Bless you, Poppy.
You better not be reaching for a napkin, Poppy.
No.
We can.
I'm getting him a quieter fidget toy.
Yeah, sorry. Was it really bad?
It was pretty bad.
Oh, fuck. I hope it doesn't come through in the sound.
I mean, it'll come through in the sound because it was coming through over here and John editing that.
I didn't notice it at all.
Okay. Interesting. Well, okay, well, it's fine. I've got editing software. We could make it sound great. We have tools now that make what we want to do a lot easier to accomplish. The fact that I am now running regular games with friends across the country, out of the country, that I didn't have the time to run before. That gives me hope that some of the old games, some of the old groups, we can get back together a lot more easily than before COVID started. What do you guys think?
I think that for some of these groups and some of these people that I used to play with or I've never played with before, and at least the ones that are in this city, I think that the joy of getting back into gaming, once we could figure out how to do all of that, that alone gives me incentive to think, like, I'm going to make a much more concerted effort to have this time off so I can do this game with this group in real life and we can do that again. Or even online. I don't care. But the rediscovering the joy of all of it to me during all this has been very, very motivating, to say the least.
Piggybacking off of what Xander just said, one of the big takeaways I've heard echoed by a lot of people about COVID is it got them back to brass tacks as to why they game in the first place.
Is that to escape this nightmarish apocalyptic reality that we're all currently living in?
Well, that's part of it, but it's the being together factor and sharing epic moments of storytelling and togetherness. Given all the hurdles, like all of the shit that made that hard, rule systems, day jobs, the frickin' PTA meeting on Tuesday nights, whatever the bullshit was, suddenly got blasted out of existence. And that core important tenet of why so many of us role play or get together for board game night or whatever the nerd thing is. Like, I've got a bunch of friends who recently started a Firefly discussion group. They won't let me in because I'm a purple belly.
Well, it sounds like you deserve that one.
I mean,
getting back to that core reason why we game, to share community and share storytelling and share those moments. That's why.
I thought of one other group that I would love to get back together, and I just forgot it. As I was saying those
Wolves
words.
Wolves of Zeramond?
Yes! Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was it. I want to get the original Wolves of Zeramond back together. I want to get Lady Coquine, Poppy Beaujolais, yes. April,
yes.
Natalie, yes. And Rachel.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Magical.
It was a magical group. All hail Firuza.
Oh, hail Firuza. Oh! Yes, I miss my wolves too. That was another one that I really got into, and it was and it was something. There was just something about playing with a bunch of ladies. Like everyone there, I identified as femme, and that's just something I had never experienced before. And it was fun and amazing, and it was a good crash course in recording also, because generally culturally dominant American culture, women, white women, we talk all over each other all the time because that's just how we communicate and we can keep up. And when you're recording, it doesn't work. So it was interesting to watch us sort of like still communicate with each other in that fun kind of fast way, but not talk over each other so that we could actually understand what the hell was going on in the recording.
And the last one that I want to go and get back together once all this nonsense blows over, because you can't do this virtually, is, you know, NPC remembers the maybe like once a month, once every other month poker nights I used to have.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I went to one of those.
They were fun.
They were a lot of fun. And it was just, you know, super friendly poker. It was a $20 buy-in.
Yep.
You could buy in
I only remember $10.
Oh, sorry, it was $10 buy-in. Yeah. You could buy in once more for 10 more. And okay. That was it. Like, we capped you at $20. So, like, the worst you're out is, like, 5 hours of fun and $20. You know? And it was a BYOB, you know, I'd always have snacks there. And it was, you know, dealer's choice for who gets to go and choose what game. So it was a mixture of, you know, Texas Hold'em and then seven card stud and then Black Mariah and then five card. And just like, so you would constantly go and mix up the game. So it wasn't like, it's like a whole night of Texas Hold'em. Because I know some people fucking hate that. And, you know, we all got crowded into my little living room apartment and, you know, for like 3, 4, 5 hours. And of course, like, I'm going to go out for a smoke break. And then like, all right, so, you know, take your chips aside and you go out and do your thing. Maybe like two guys go out for a smoke break. Now the game's smaller, so it goes a little faster and kind of rotate in and out like that for the whole fucking night. And it was great. And I actually, now that I'm living back at the chateau, my housemate has a giant nice poker set and a giant living room table and enough room for like, I think about 6 to 8 players. So,
oh, wow.
Do they have plexiglass dividers?
I mean, even still, the whole concept of having to like touch chips and go back and forth.
And is, cards.
Yeah. I don't want to have a new deck of cards every single hand.
What is this, Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Getting the band back together. We just had a deep separate dive into how we met each other, which may or may not actually get released in the podcast episode proper. Who knows? I might cut that and make it some bonus material because we have to, you know, make our patrons happy in some way or another.
It's true. We have to give them something special.
Yeah. Something deep and raw and behind the scenes.
Nice little tasty treat.
And we don't have the dab branded butt plugs yet. So,
I mean, how else can you do a deep dive?
A raw deep dive, something a little special around back.
Since we've been
Biker's Dyson dildos? No.
Biker's Dyson spreader bars. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh. I'm just trying to keep the D in there, if you know what I mean.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Oh, God. So we've been kind of going backward through this. We normally have the old school talk about bikes, talk about nerd shit, talk about drinking. We started talking about drinking, went into nerd shit.
And so then kept drinking.
And then we just kept drinking. So I guess we're not talking about bikes today, folks.
In bike news, Zero is going to be releasing their new lines. And I took a look at them and they might be a little lower profile. I'm very excited to try one out and see if one might actually fit me. We'll see if it's all just fancy photography that makes them look shorter than they are. But I'm very excited about that.
And for those at home, what's a Zero?
An all-electric motorcycle.
Is it sexy looking?
Yeah, and they go like 200 miles on one charge.
That is what it should do.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting the band back together and talking about motorcycles, I want to talk about getting a band back together on motorcycles that has been making me very happy lately. So let's take this back to the year 2004 when you and McGregor and Charlie Borman went on a cross world road trip starting from London down into Europe. Through Eastern Europe, into Asia, they rode through Kazakhstan and Mongolia and Russia. Then they flew to Alaska and rode from Alaska in down south into the United States and through to New York City on 2 motorcycles, followed roughly a day behind or half a day behind by a road crew there to provide potential medical and technical assistance. They did this as a sort of a documentary to see if it could be done. And again, this was 2004. Google Maps didn't exist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of the areas that they were riding through did not have GPS data. It was a new adventure. And they called it Long Way Round. And it's amazing. We watched it first on Netflix. And Netflix, fortunately, had the extended version. If you can find it somewhere, I highly recommend that you watch it. There's a shorter version. If you can find the extended version with 10 episodes, that's the best one.
Is it called The Short Way Around?
Well, it's... Nah. Eh. There's also a book. They made it a multimedia thing. There's a book that they were writing while they did it. It is just amazing. You feel like you were hanging out with them the whole time. With Ewan McGregor, Ewan McGregor, you know, fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi and Trainspotting, with Charlie Borman, who was a good friend of his, another actor who hasn't been quite in as much, but his dad did Deliverance. You've all seen Deliverance.
His dad, right? Is John Borman. Yeah.
But they also had the who I consider writer number one, their cameraman, Claudio is why you watch it, in my opinion. But anyway, you watch the thing and you feel like you've been hanging out with them. And I really actually do at some point want to get all of us to watch it and record our own commentary track to provide as a bonus thing for our listeners to listen to, or our patrons to listen to while they also watch A Long Way Round. We should do that.
What I think we should do once we can get the band back together is I think we should go and like take a week and take a trip together on our bikes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think we should record the whole thing and do a very similar thing. Like maybe we just go to like, I don't know, British Columbia or some shit, or maybe we go down to.
I have a passport now. We should do that.
Yeah.
Oh, we should go to Vancouver and visit all those places you talked about.
We should, because British Columbia is A, beautiful.
Yeah.
And B, has a sweet ass nerdy bar. We could might do a podcast at if we get in contact with them ahead of time.
Stormcrow?
I think it's what it's called.
Yeah. Oh my God, I have a shirt.
Yeah, yeah. They have like autographed like Firefly shit on their walls, a whole collection of like sci-fi weapons to look at and a fuck ton of board games to check out. Yeah, and
Stormcrow is fucking rad.
You been there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's what we should do. And we should go release a podcast, but then do like a special like, you know, video segment for our Patreon to really kind of juice it up.
I would like that.
Anyway. Ewan and Charlie did it again in 2007. They did what was called A Long Way Down, where they did the same formula, the same road crew, the same cameraman. And that's the important part.
Claudio
came back with them and they rode from the northernmost tip of Scotland. I think they called it John O'Groats, Scotland. All the way down south through the tunnel. Down into Europe, and then took the ferry from the southernmost tip of Italy into the northernmost tip of Africa, and then rode through Africa down to the southernmost tip. And it was a fantastic documentary. That was in 2007. And now, in 2020, they're releasing with a long-awaited follow-up, Long Way Up. And we are watching it every Friday when it's been coming out. We're only about 5 episodes in because it's happening right now.
Yeah. And only on Apple TV. This is not a plug, but it's only on Apple TV.
Whatever. Yeah. They're going from the southernmost tip of the Tierra del Fuego in South America. And they're riding motorcycles all the way up through South America, through Central America, through Mexico to Los Angeles. And the only reason I was thinking about this is because you were talking about Zeros, electric motorcycles. They are doing the entire trip on electric motorcycles and electric SUV support vehicles from Harley Davidson and Rivian, respectfully. The best part is all of the vehicles they are riding are prototypes. They are riding prototype Harley Davidson electric adventure bikes and prototype Rivian adventure SUVs. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Just the experience that they're going through. And again, you've gone through Long Way Round. You've gone through Long Way Down. You feel like this is your third tour with some of your best friends.
Yeah. It's really amazing to watch.
Yeah. And they got Claudio back.
They got Jimmy.
They got their cameraman. They got the whole team.
They got Russ. They got Dave.
It literally feels like in every single shot, in every conversation, in every side story, it feels like you're going on an adventure with your best friends again.
Yeah. One of my sort of like pipe dreams of this podcast is to get you and McGregor and Charlie Borman on our podcast to talk about their motorcycle shit.
I'd also love to get Gygax, the metal band, in here.
Yeah.
To talk about like being a metal band that plays D&D and also to play some Hammer Crawl.
Yeah. We could record the shit out of that. Be great. Anyway, pipe dreams for the podcast. Yeah.
That is an interesting looking motorcycle.
Which one? The Harley Electric?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The live wire.
Yeah, they don't suck.
Huh.
Yeah, right.
What's so fascinating about their experience through South America is they're going through some of the highest altitudes of populated areas in the world.
They're riding these motorcycles at like 12,000 feet above sea level.
15,000 feet. These are electric motorcycles that don't charge well when it's cold.
I grew up at what would most would consider a reasonably high altitude. I grew up at like 5,000 feet above sea level. I'm useless above like 9 or 10,000 feet. And these guys are like working on cars, working on vehicles, riding their motorcycles for hours in 14,000 feet. And it's, you know, these guys are almost 50 and holy shit.
And let me note that they have drones this time around. They didn't have them in 2004 and 2007, but now they have their cameraman Claudio also has like two drones that he's flying around in 4K. Just mind blowing video drone, 4K drone video of Bolivia salt flats, of just all of this area, and the colors blow my mind.
It's pretty amazing.
I was just going to say, in high altitude, when I was in a band, we played this fancy ass ski town in Colorado, but it was like
Vail.
No.
Aspen.
There's the beast.
Breckenridge.
No. Anyways. The point is that like it was at 8,800 feet in elevation. Mm-hmm. And again, I was in a band called Vagabond Opera, where we had opera singers. That takes a lot of air. And, you know, we live in Portland, so we're used to not high elevation. You know, the highest in the city is about 2,000 feet. And so I would get winded walking down the street. Mm-hmm. It was such high altitude that in the green room, they had an oxygen tank for the singers, which we definitely made a joke of. That was not really a joke after Eric did his, like, you know, belting out 15, 17 second long note. And I had to like run out from behind the green room and like hand him some O2 real quick. Yeah. So he didn't pass the fuck out.
One of my favorite things about going to the Long's Peak Irish Scottish Festival in Estes Park is I'm such schadenfreude, but watching the poor fucking bagpipe players, like at high altitude, like the Flatlanders just like come up and be like, and be like, sorry.
This is the last call for alcohol this evening. Drink up, drink up, drink up, and order again. This is the last call for alcohol, get going. Drink up, drink up, drink up, then order again.
I want to sort of bring this to a close with something I just noticed.
Yes.
Jacob, your shirt looks very similar to the coffee mug you were showing earlier.
Yes, it is.
I want that shirt.
That could be arranged.
He said he has some special surprises for us. Nice. And I don't think it's B-Dab branded butt plugs.
What? I'm disappointed now.
Yeah, sorry.
Telluride.
Telluride.
I was in Telluride.
Telluride, yep. All right.
I want a Live, Laugh, Love, Crit shirt, but I would also like a Live, Laugh, Love, Crit butt plug.
I want a bottle opener butt plug.
I mean, you're talking a diameter of only about that big. That's a lot of words what? You're for real small. It's
surprising the amount of detail that you can put on the end of a butt plug. Right? I know this. I worked the Whoopi shows. I know what they can put on butt plugs these days.
I think we lost Sander.
I want a butt plug that says Xander for Mayor 2020.
Whoa. A little American flag on it.
He's back, baby.
So now I want to close this hole out because we've been rambling on. You want to close the hole out
with a...
I want to close the hole out.
With a butt plug.
I want to plug this hole with a Xander for Mayor 2020 promotion.
Yes, Xander for Mayor.
In the form of a butt plug that may also take the form of Xander telling us what we're talking about.
Yeah, the butt plug is going to say, Xander for Mayor, he's not full of shit.
And you think I'm joking, but I actually earlier today was filling out my ballot. We live in Portland, Oregon. And if you've been listening, you understand that Portland has a sheriff that supposedly supports Donald Trump. But we don't really care about that person who doesn't exist. Instead, we're going to talk about our mayoral situation, which is unpleasant.
And the candidates are also unpleasant. And Xander has, thank you, Brandon, decided to run for mayor in a write-in campaign.
Yeah, so I wasn't thinking of doing this, but I got, you know, one of the things I do on my Facebook that's a big hit with all my followers and friends on there is I get drunk and I watch debates and I live vlog them because...
Like you do.
That's just kind of what I do. And so I got home from work and I thought, oh, you know, the Portland mayoral debates were on there. I should watch this because this shit's important. And it was a fucking clusterfuck of just like incompetence and just like... They both just seem so dumb, so dumb. I already knew Ted Wheeler was a fucking idiot.
Gas me, Teddy.
Gas me harder, Teddy.
Gas my anus, Teddy.
With a butt plug for me. No. spicy.
oh, God.
You know, and so then Sarah Iannarone was just like, she was no better. And I'm sorry, I don't know how fucking tone deaf you have to be to campaign while wearing a skirt with Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, and Che Guevara on it. Like, how fucking tone deaf do you have to be to think that's an acceptable thing to do?
Yeah, going after hard after that tanky vote.
Yeah, and so I was just like, this is dumb. I should, you know, then our you know, biggest fan, Brendan, was like, you should just run for mayor. And I thought, you know what? Fuck this. Yeah. I'll start. So I made a post like kind of as a joke and through some serious, not so serious policy, you know, proposals on there. And it got liked a fuck ton and got shared a fuck ton. And I was like, oh, OK, I'm going to keep this up then. So then I made another post and I get a bunch more likes and a bunch more. I even got some people that were writing me concerned because I was going to ruin Teresa Radford's writing campaign. And I'm like, you must only be afraid of this if you think I actually might have a fucking chance. So about for the next, you know, couple weeks from every other day, I'm going to go write another kind of like, you know, fun and serious and not so serious list of proposals, but also go and criticize the other two main candidates for their incompetence. Because, again, I think we can all say Portland's not gotten better in the last 4 years. It just hasn't. It's been going nothing but downhill. And yet our mayor seems fit to go and say, oh, things are fine. I can keep making them, what, worse? Like, I don't. Anyways, all that to say this, though, is that I'm not your usual candidate. I'm not a politician. I don't know what I'm doing, but
does that even matter in this country anymore?
Clearly not.
Apparently not.
But I will tell you that A, I cannot do a worse job than Ted Wheeler did. I'll probably do a better job than Sarah Iannarone will do. I don't really know who Teresa Radford is.
she's someone who's not running for mayor.
Oh, right. Cause she didn't make the yeah. Anyways. Yeah. And so I, however, have been here for over 15 years, 16 years now, I guess. Yeah. 16 years. And, you know, I give a shit about the city. I moved here because I love this city and it hurts me to see how badly it's being treated right now by fucking everybody. So I have already promised that if I win at my inauguration party, I will have Amanda Richards and the Good Long Wiles play the music, that I will have Kat Van Dam and Lula Flav do burlesque. The Mad Marquis will MC the entire event. And we'll get really drunk and it'll be fun. And then the next day I'll get serious about my job as I slowly realize what madness I plunged myself into. But I do have a lot of proposals if you want to go on my Facebook and read them. I think that they're fun. And I'm also going to be a mayor that's no bullshit. Like if you ask me any question, I'll give you an answer. I'm not going to go and tiptoe around things. And I've already pissed off a couple people, especially with my fuck Seattle policy, which I will very strongly implement to a T. Also my inauguration, we're going to go burn a 12th man flag because, you know, fuck Seattle. But I do have some serious proposals on there as well, involving, you know, mostly police reform and justice reform and stuff like that, racial equality, but also like in a reasonable way too, because I don't really feel like, you know, giving in to the most extreme of the extremes. So vote Xander. You can find my hashtag at hashtag Xander for mayor, hashtag write in Xander. You can find that on the Facebooks and you'll find some of the stuff I'm writing and some fun pictures of me, too.
Let's go ahead then and bring this to a close. I know that for some reason the stream lost sound. Don't know what's happening. I see that all the sound is going through. Who fucking knows? Twitch is weird.
2020.
Jacob, is that what you were trying to signal? Okay.
Jacob, yeah. Can we hear you? Can you hear
us? Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. It's the output to the stream.
Weird.
Okay. Don't know. Anyway,
Bikers, Dice, and Bars officially supports Xander Almeida for mayor so much that I am going to rush edit this episode through. You should be hopefully hearing this Saturday, which is 2 days after we record it. I want this word to get out. If you can, let people know to come and listen and see exactly what kind of awesome dude Xander is. And he can't be worse than Ted.
It's a low bar, but that's the low bar I will step over for this city.
All right.
No pity in the Rose City.
Speaking of low bars, you've been listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars, recorded here in Portland, Oregon. As usual, I'm NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
The good doctor, Xander Gerrymander, who wants to be your next mayor.
And I am Poppy Beaujolais.
We wish to remind you to please join us online, join us on Discord, join us on Facebook, join us on Instagram now that we're taking pictures again. Join us on all of the things. And if you feel like you've enjoyed what you're listening to and maybe want to contribute to us keeping the lights on, join us on Patreon too. Kick us a buck. It doesn't actually matter how much you kick us. All the rewards are the same.
For now.
But we want to thank you and remind you to please
keep your shiny side up.
Always drink responsibly. That's me. No, that's you. I didn't drink responsibly. Always tip your bartender. What's going on here?
May your dice always roll criticals.
Always clean your butt plugs. always drink responsibly. Black Lives Matter.
And remember to fucking vote.
Please vote.
Remember to fucking vote.
Unfortunately, your registration deadline has already passed in Oregon here. But if you're in another state, I believe some have been extended. So make sure to double check to make sure you are registered. Mm-hmm. And remember, vote Xander.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes.